T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger, firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it! Touchdown Rams! With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. I'm back from vacation, where we discussed earlier. I'm getting a dog after due to the coronavirus. Having my wife and kids at home together all the time. They want a dog.
They want something to do.
We're getting a dog. And so oatmeal's on his way. I also need to discuss things that we have gotten in trouble for in close quarters now that you normally wouldn't. Because I got in trouble for something over the weekend that,
who's enforcing it?
What do you mean? By your wife.
Oh, okay. So
like
you're
by your wife.
Things that you're getting bothered by your wife.
Yeah, you're getting in trouble for things that you thought you'd be in the clear for.
Gotcha.
So we have that. And I got shamed by my son. And I'll share that story at some point during the show. It's a doozy, and it was a hit to my ego for sure. So all of those things coming up on the show, plus NFL Rapid Fire at the top of next hour. Brady Henderson, ESPN Seahawks reporter. He's joining us at 8:30 for an update of where the Seahawks stand from his houseboat. Remember, he lives on a houseboat.
I forgot that. Are we sure he lives on a houseboat?
He said he was on his houseboat.
I don't remember that.
The last time we talked to him, he was on a house. He said he was houseboat living.
I don't know if that's on Brady's residence.
Yeah, I thought he was just a friend, or he was just staying there. It was a little sleepover.
No, I think that's his. I think that's where he lives.
We're going to confirm.
Okay, he'll join us at 8:30. Plus, Jadeveon Clowney too.
Will not join us, but with questions.
No, we have hit. Yeah, question.
Yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney.
If Jadeveon's listening and wants to join us, he can.
He can absolutely just come on in.
You know what?
Or no, call in.
Stick around. Maybe Jadeveon Clowney will join us. I don't know. I mean, there's no certainty that he won't. He probably won't.
I got a baseball thing for you. You know, briefly before you get hot and cold. You know, baseball not starting. How about this? I saw a tweet that made me very interested. This isn't that big a deal, but it's actually quite funny. All the Yankees guys are growing beards. Think about that.
What?
I think about dumb rules or not. Now, I'm a facial hair guy, which, though, if I played for the Yankees, I think it's always great that the guys are clean shaven. I actually love that. I think it's traditional. I like the pinstripes. I like, hey, shave. But all these Yankees guys are taking pictures with beards because they're like, we don't get to grow beards. We're not allowed to have beards. And so, you know, and by the way, what I saw, beards not good for the virus.
No.
Long, shaggy beards.
No, I heard so that. Like, I trimmed mine up because
of that.
So
like Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's been on quarantine for years. Did you see that? Did you see him?
Oh, I saw his video.
Holy moly.
Scott Van Pelt said he looked like Peter Griffin in that episode of Family Guy where he has the birds living in his beard.
He did look like
that.
He looked
like UConn Cornelius is who he looked like.
Honestly looked like he rolled off of a mountain.
And he kind of had an Amish haircut going on.
Oh,
too.
It was horrible.
Like in the Lloyd Christmas do.
I feel bad for his wife.
But I'm still stunned. Buck, you trimmed your beard because of the...
Well, it was getting overdue for a trim anyways, yeah. But then I also like simultaneously saw that
I noticed
a longer
you went
beard,
shorter.
Yeah,
you
a longer shorter. Beard can beard, harbor more germs.
Right, the beard industry is probably getting trimmed.
Nope, is there a beard industry?
Of course there's the beard. We live in Portland.
Isn't it
this
a boost?
This is the beardsiest beard place in the world.
But it's a boost.
I don't know if it's in the world, but Portland leads the world. Okay, not the world.
Again.
I feel pretty comfortable saying Portland's on the top of the food chain when it comes to beardsiness.
But what is the industry for beards?
Oh, there's a whole industry for beards. There's beard types of...
Isn't it not shaving?
No. There's grooming utensils. Certainly there's combing. There's types of product that you put in it.
I once purchased mustache wax.
Mustache wax
is a
thing.
Whole deal.
Okay. Well,
my wife once
hit.
Got me beard oil as a gift.
Won't people think of beard oil? The beard industry right now? Come on. Nobody is invincible right now, especially the beards. 55305, that is the Fan text line. Right now it is 707.
What's hot?
Okay.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right, a couple of national awards going out to the University of Oregon's top hoopers, as the Ann Drysdale Award given to the top player in college basketball is given to Sabrina Ionescu of the Ducks. She was the unanimous AP
well
player
deserved.
Of the year. Also, the Lute Olson Award given to top player in college hoops went to Peyton Pritchard. That is a distinguished award. I mean, it's not the
Naismith.
Also
well deserved.
University of Oregon probably having its best sports year ever.
As a collective, hard to argue that for the big sports.
I mean, you have a potential top five pick in Justin Herbert, maybe. Mm-hmm. You have got a Rose Bowl win, conference championship in football, conference championship in women's basketball, conference championship in men's basketball, your first unanimous All-American, first team All-American in Peyton Pritchard in 80 years, and then Sabrina Ionescu, who will be the number one overall pick. I mean, individually and collectively, pretty dang good run for the Ducks. And now you'll never know what is going to happen in track, softball, and baseball because those seasons are canceled. It became official yesterday, and I had it in my notes, but Steve Ballmer's pockets are deep. You see that he finally got the MSG to buckle and bought the Forum in L.A. for $400.
I have his notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Oh. Wow! $400 million?
Yeah, you know what's crazy about
pocket
this deal?
Change laying around?
So, oh gosh. James Dolan purchased the Forum project. I think it was around $24 million. Pretty good return on his investment. But also, the crazy... And I think it's the good news about it, because it's kind of like what the Memorial Stadium is here. They're going to keep the Forum. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep it as a music venue only, and then they're going to build another basketball-only facility right there. And, of course, what is that close to? What is that basketball new basketball facility and the Great Western Forum right next to?
SoFi.
It's going to be a sports entertainment mecca there where you can get everything. Can you imagine being able to watch a Clippers game and then head on over on the weekend and just hang out there, stay in a hotel, and then watch a Rams or Chargers game? It's going to be insane. And then go to a concert at the Forum.
It's huge for Ballmer to get his own space at the Clippers, too.
Well, he's got a lot of money.
You are always going to be second fiddle in Staples Center to the Lakers.
I think it's a great idea.
Get out.
Fantastic.
Do your own thing. And
a little sad because I thought they were eventually maybe would move up to Seattle. But it's better. I get it.
He said it when he bought the team.
I know, he would never do it.
He bought L.A. real estate.
Yep, makes sense.
He wants
Smart
it.
Smart on him.
And, you know, California Love with Tupac and Dr. Dre taught me Inglewood was always up to no good. Inglewood is now going to be the sports epicenter.
Yeah, it is.
My goodness. And Are the Angels going to try to move down there too?
Oh, they got a beautiful. You think? They got a nice stadium. Beautiful stadium.
What, they're trying to get out of it?
But it's still nice.
But that was the whole deal, is that they want a new one. If they move down there,
yeah, well, hey, you get a stadium. Oprah, you get a stadium. You get a stadium.
The Los Angeles Angels of Inglewood. Sounds better than Anaheim.
Don't leave Disneyland. I don't want to leave Disneyland.
A couple local guys signing deals. Ndamukong Suh to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 1 year, $8 million.
That's a smart move by Ndamukong Suh. Why?
Because he's playing with Tom Brady?
Yes. He wants to go to a contender. Oh, by the way, Thomas showed up.
What?
They're immediate contender.
Yes, they
are.
He
wants a ring. Of course he wants a ring. Why wouldn't I return back for about $8 million? They have, and if you watch what they have, you look at it on film now, Vita Vea, and I was watching Baldy's Breakdowns, which if you don't have Baldy's Breakdowns, is Brian Baldinger. He is on Twitter. It's a great follow. If you love the kind of idiot, the small little breakdowns of everything that he does, Vita Vea, he says the third or second best defensive tackle behind Aaron Donald. It is ridiculous watching him. He said now that Ndamukong Suh is coming back, that D-line is going to be mutants stopping. Mutants stopping everybody.
Former Portland State Viking Patrick Owosso is headed to the Jets on a one-year deal. So two local guys inking deals. I find it fascinating. You've been noticing a lot of one-year deals going around the NFL lately. Because they see the fact that the owners wanted a new CBA to negotiate a new TV contract. New TV contract means more money.
Mm-hmm.
One-year deals all around the NFL this year because they want to cash in next year.
I think I said that last week, though, but all deals are one-year deals in the NFL, essentially. Kind of, but you're looking at guaranteed money, and these guys are trying to hit the guaranteed money train when it hits.
Oh, yeah, and that'll be when a salary cap boom happens. Mm-hmm. Under a new multi-billion dollar television contract. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have returned to the negotiating table after the team slapped him with the franchise tag. That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not upset about it.
No.
He shouldn't be either.
I don't think so.
What? You don't think he should be upset about getting franchise tag?
No. No, that means you're valuable. So now you start the negotiations.
Well... See, but most guys take it as, what do you get? You're just trying to keep me here for 1 year when I've got a short window to earn money. Quarterbacks are so different in that regard.
Well, they're worth a lot more because they're part of it. It's longer. I mean, your value is going to be 8 to 10 years now. I mean, you could literally say that's the most valuable position, but you can hang around for 8 to 10 years, and the guys are going to even if you signed a franchise tag for 4 years in a row, what's your risk as a quarterback? Okay, it's even safer than ever to be able to play the position now.
Because if they franchise him again, it'll probably be like $40 million.
Right, you can only do it two times anyway.
All right, top story across football right now outside of the NFL draft is the NFL's GMs are fighting back, and the latest to do it is John Elway telling Broncos.com that he feels really good about where the team is, but they'd rather have the NFL draft postponed because of coronavirus and not being able to get players into their facilities. Mm-hmm. Now, the subcommittee of GMs has voted, or it did a vote, and they have recommended to the NFL they bump the draft back. Will draft shaming work with the NFL? That. And some notes from across the NFL, including, did the Panthers do Cam Newton dirty? 715 on the Fan. All right, it is 7:19. Dusty Hare, Cam Cleveland back with you. Now, the NFL's GMs are voting, and they did vote in a subcommittee, and this tells you how much subcommittees mean, to recommend that the NFL's bump their draft back. Did you guys talk about this yesterday?
A little bit.
With the NFL?
No, we didn't. Oh, wait, did we?
A little bit.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
A little bit.
That's right. All right. Ideas for the draft, but...
Oh, ideas for the draft? What'd you come up with?
Well, it's Adam Schefter came up with it. 7 days, seven rounds.
Oh my God, that'd be so great.
I mean, what's the hurry?
There is no hurry. They
we got nothing else but time.
Roll this bad boy out in the most painful way for these players. Make them wait.
Absolutely. But you know what? Entertain me. This is going to be something that they should get used to. First day of being a professional, you should learn that everything is for the fans right now.
Yeah.
And the NFL really doesn't care about you. All they care about is the fans and making money off of it.
Well, according to the NFL and the rest of the general managers, they don't care about the general managers either.
No, because the general manager is saying we don't have the resources or the time to evaluate these players. We can't go along with the draft April 23rd. Wah, wah, wah. There is no, I don't get it in 2020 how this can be such a big deal. Shouldn't most of the evaluation process be already in the rearview mirror for these teams?
What are men 50,000 times more susceptible to do than most, I'm going to say most other, well, women. What
most other genders.
Well, I know, but when I would talk about, there are a fraction amount of men that are very good at this. What are we notorious for doing?
Impulse.
Well, that too. But it starts with a P. We wait. What is that called? Procrastination. We are horrible at it. Horrible. Like, they're like, oh, I'll get to it. And eventually, when it's all of a sudden right in your face, you're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared. Now, not all of us are bad at it. Some are better than others. But when it comes to the NFL, they are massive procrastinators. Why? Because you're distracted during the season. You send out your scouting department and you have your guys evaluating. But really, you're just putting a few pieces together. Your draft boards don't start talking about it. Now, all of a sudden, they all procrastinated, and they knew that they were going to make their push. And this is what happens with every group. You hit February, and after the combine, you make all-in, full, massive focus. Well, guess what you haven't been able to do? You haven't been able to do it. And so, because you procrastinate, and because that's how the schedule's always been set, you're whining and crying because we haven't had the time, which I understand. I mean, I get it. But this is going to be the most important draft ever. It will show you who prepares better than any other organization. Some guys are like, I think we like this guy. You're already bad at drafting anyway. Cincinnati, Cleveland. Well, Cleveland's been better. Most recently, their coaching could be better now. But bad organizations don't prepare. So, they're not good at it. Pittsburgh is excellent at it. If you want to find the gold standard, even better than New England, because I have a good friend that is a Pittsburgh scout, and they are fantastic at it. And that's why they draft as good and develop as good as any organization out there, because they over-prepare and they invest in their scouting department. These guys are all bitching because John Elway is lazy. I mean, call it what it is. Lazy, lazy, and even more lazy.
Well, what I find interesting is Elway, in his interview, he even says the scouts are already working on next year for the 2020 summer, so we feel like we're in pretty good shape. It's like, well, you should know, and most of this should be in the rearview mirror, because I love how GMs will always tell you to justify their picks. Tape doesn't lie. How often do you hear that? Well, you're watching tape. I mean, what are you going to get out of it? You just want them to work out in front of you?
They want medical.
Is that what you want? Is medical. Work out yes. in front?
Yes.
You want to feel
these guys. Warm and fuzzy about your decision. I mean, you want to have multiple questions. I was asked the same damn question by the same guy 15 different times. You know that stupid test that they send you, the personality test that sends the same question at you like once every 15 questions, and they try to see if you're constantly trying to change your answer based upon that? You probably never took that test.
I don't know. Facebook has a bunch of personality tests.
It's one of those crazy things, and they'll do it. They'll ask you the question in November, December. Then they'll come at you again at the combine. They'll come at you again, and then when they do that, they're trying to figure out all these other things because it's crazy. The Giants used to have this test where they called the Giants test, 400 questions. All of us knew. That was when Deion Sanders turned it down. He said, you guys are picking it what? I ain't going to be around. I ain't taking your dumbass test. This is what they do.
But then you sit there, the draft is a crapshoot anyway, so you never know what you're going to get. Yeah. You can do all the interviews that you want. You still don't know exactly what you're getting until they get into your building.
How about this? You know how much the draft is a crapshoot? Do you know this is going to be the first time in the history of the NFL, every starter, there is a team. You probably know this, but for those of you who aren't listening, there is a team in the NFL that currently, as they sit, every starter on offense is a first round pick.
Yeah. I have that in the notes right here.
Yeah.
It's the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Because now that they have Laquon Treadwell as wide receiver, every single, all 11 on offense are former first round picks.
Now, some of them are, if you redrafted all of them, would they all be first round picks? Every single guy, would you be first round?
No, Bob.
Well, I mean, is it fair? I mean, who clearly isn't a first round pick on there? Todd Gurley? Not a first round pick?
Laquon Treadwell, is it?
Yeah, Laquon Treadwell, who flamed out. I mean, offensive linemen, when you look at guys like an offensive lineman who.
Jake. Oh, I'm sorry. Was their left tackle?
Caleb McGarry is a
right
tackle.
A right tackle out of Washington. He's still kind of figuring
they got
out.
Jake Matthews.
He's a good starter. Was he in year eight?
James Carpenter. And this is, a lot of it is
their center's
due to
ridiculous.
Age.
Yeah.
Alex Mack
is legit.
Really good.
Yeah.
Chris Lindstrom at right guard. Their quarterback, Matt Ryan. Their running back, Todd Gurley. Then you have Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Laquon Treadwell.
I mean, so it is a little bit of a crapshoot, but that's nuts to say that every time you're going to get it right. That's why it's called a draft. You're hoping, you're wishing a few of them work out. If it's not convenient for the general manager, I saw Mickey Loomis was upset about this. He said, we're not prepared for it either. This is frustrating. I understand.
Well, their coach got the coronavirus, so they may have actually a justification here.
Yeah, and I understand their plight, but the NFL looked straight at them, and everybody up there said, nope, NFL says not going to move. That's being reported by Florio out of Pro Football Talk, but they just said, no, we're not moving it, guys.
And they shouldn't.
Well,
they shouldn't at this point. Because
could you give them an extra week? What's another week or so?
Just another week for them not to do anything and procrastinate, like you were saying at the beginning of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, what is going to change for them in that week?
Well, they'll have more time to sit there and talk about it. And they'll have more time to try to talk themselves out of picks.
Right.
Because not all of them have their boards ready.
And
once you get past probably the third or fourth round, you're bored. Your board starts dropping off. You start trying to figure out your standards, and then you got to worry about free agents. What about guys that aren't draftable? And then how do you get all that? How do you get that communication in? Are you going to be able to bring those guys around?
Over the phone, you know? Hey, but that's when you lean on your scouting department. You trust on them that they did their job. And if you can't trust them as a GM, I would assume that you guys are probably heading in the wrong direction anyways.
I'm going to go with this, and I say in about 4 years or maybe even three seasons post the 2020 NFL draft, this might be the most significant draft as the telltale sign of who are the franchises that really separate themselves. And you don't really – there's going to be a lot of crapshoots out there, but we're going to really see a gold standard of how you prepare and how you deal with adversity. And a lot of people are dealing with adversity right now, but this draft is going to set – this mm-hmm. decade up. As crazy as that sounds, we've never seen a better quarterback draft since probably, allegedly, since 1983, with five quarterbacks potentially going in the first round that are all could be starters in a league that's already quarterback flush with starters. So this is going to be set. This draft is setting up the decade. We're going to find out.
You know
who's
what?
Good at it.
You know what's funny is that, you know, the best quarterback draft since 1983, wasn't that just a couple of years ago?
No.
Didn't they say that? But that was said by draft analysts just a couple of years ago with all of the first round picks.
But did we have five though? How was that? Was that the Christian Ponder draft with all those guys?
No,
that wasn't
like
five.
We've had it a couple times. The Christian Ponder, Jake Locker draft.
Was that 2010? Was that the 2011 draft?
There's a lot of them. But it was just a couple of years ago. Everybody's like, hey,
yeah,
this is the best quarterback draft since blah, blah, blah. It was 2018. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson. Remember that year? That's when they were saying,
yeah, no,
best quarterback draft since
I didn't
1983.
Feel that way. For some reason, I didn't feel that way. When Baker Mayfield went number one, I went, nope, not going to happen.
And then 2012. Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon, Brock Osweiler.
I didn't feel that one either.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
I know, but
I'm
others
not talking
are saying
to you specifically. That is what has been said time and time again.
This is
going over and over.
This is the first time in that I can remember that going into that I look at any one of these guys that are up for starters that I feel can be bona fide starters. for like 5 to 10 years. Every single one of these guys, now, of course, it's not going to work out. Not all five are going to be locked down solid. That's why everyone says the 83 is, I don't know if it can ever be replicated. But this is the first year where I look at every guy and I go, you can poke a few holes in a few, but there's not that many. They're all good guys. They're all good leaders. They're all stable. They've all played well. This is the first time. I don't feel there's a real now. Jordan Love might be the only reach I look at because I don't have enough time of watching him.
Yeah,
but that's about it.
I don't know much about him. But there's also
Jalen Hurts on the outside.
There's big question marks about all these guys too. Joe Burrow is 1 year with Joe Brady.
Yeah.
And a ton of NFL talent around him. You know, just sitting there, and then you have Tua with a hip injury, Justin Herbert and his inconsistencies that he has had.
You must not have watched the Tua video.
Back. He's back.
He TikToked his way into everybody's hearts.
When is the last time Tua finished a season? It wasn't his senior year of high school.
Yeah.
It was not that year. Somebody said it was his junior year.
But you know what's crazy?
High school.
Is Tua's going to be more protected as a quarterback in the NFL than he was in college, because they're not going to allow him to do the things that he did in college and allow him to be that way in the NFL. He will be more protected in the NFL than ever.
55305. That is the fan text line. Coming up in NFL Rapid Fire, did the Panthers screw over Cam Newton? But coming up next, let's talk a little college football. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, has got quite the proposal for college football. You know, no spring practice in college football has people wondering what their calendar may look like. That's after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, it is 7:34. Coming up, top of next hour, we got NFL Rapid Fire, where we'll break down the burning questions in the NFL world, and Cam gets to hear the bells. 8:30, Brady Henderson, ESPN Seahawks reporter. Let's talk a little college football, shall we? Now, spring games are all canceled, except for, did you see Liberty is reopening their campus?
Well,
Jerry Falwell.
Just for the students. It's not like, they're still online. They just allowed them to come back to their dorms.
But does that open the door for like Hugh Freeze to go ahead and have practice?
As long as he's laying in his bed from his coach's office.
Hopstable bed out there. That was such a weird thing.
Still one of the craziest things I've.
The other weirdest part was the air pound that Dino Babers did from the field. Like, hey,
love you, man. As weird as all of us doing elbow air pounds now.
Mm. Yeah. I just wave a lot more. Have you found yourself being more friendly?
I'm more reclusive. I'm just like, hey, keep your distance, 6 feet.
I'm giving a lot more waves. I'm the little thumbs up, you know,
6 feet.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, wave. But you know, keep your 6 feet.
Yeah.
But give a little wave. Hey, I'm not completely rude now.
No.
So, where were we going? Oh, yeah, college football.
You're talking Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty and Hugh Freeze. They may be able to actually have spring practices because they're reopening their campus up. But everybody else, they're in a tough spot, including Notre Dame. And Brian Kelly was making the rounds yesterday, and he brought up a proposal for what potentially their calendar could and should look like moving forward for college football.
To me, I think July 1. I mean, if you can't start training your football team by July 1, you're going to need at least 4 weeks. Strength and conditioning coaches are going to want 6. You know, sports medicine is probably looking at, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. I think the realistic goal here is minimum of 4 weeks of conditioning before you put them in camp. You know, college football is going to be affected if we're not playing in 90 days in terms of the conditioning element in getting these young men ready.
Everybody's on their own right now.
They are on their own.
And this is a scary proposition because you see, if you're on social media, you can follow like strength and conditioning coaches out there. Mm-hmm. They're posting just body weight workout exercises, but you're hoping that your guys can go ahead and do it. And so his recommendation right there, that's OTAs, isn't it?
No,
it's bring them in, work them out, basically move your spring schedule into July 1. And so it's like a stair step into your training camp, which will start in August.
It's not a deterrent. It's actually a safety factor for all of them. And they're going to need it. They're going to need a minimum of that time to get their bodies ready. There's no way physically they're going to have it. And you're trying to eliminate as much as injuries you can. I am wondering, of course, I'm not a CDC member and I don't have the kind of logic of how many tests we have out there. But if college football or any sports get to the point where they can isolate their athletes on a campus, have them all pre-screened, and none of them have the virus, and they're not allowed, and they're all watched and allowed to stay in those areas, will college football, will they adapt some sort of rules where they can do this? Because if you're isolated on campus, no people come in and out, and you've already been pre-screened, what could you do? Is it? I know if your state or your government says no bigger than 10, but at that point in July, yeah, I don't believe we're going to be in the clear here. Mm-hmm. So what options are there going to be? And that might be an option.
That is something that a lot of leagues look at. Well, heck, look at the Big Three, for example. They're doing a quarantine reality show.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, the NBA is pondering that idea of, can we get our guys tested and just keep them away from anybody else? And every sports league, as this goes on, is going to start looking at those ideas.
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how you do that in the NBA, because you play teams, unless you have them all live in one area and do that. College football, definitely. Football is a lot easier because mm-hmm. you can contain them in a small dorm. You can contain them in one football area, and nobody comes in and out. And then you just play a game. I don't know about fans and all. This is way past what we can start to understand here.
Well, I think in the NBA, it's you rent out a hotel, and that's just for the NBA players, and you just play all your games in one city.
Right. You're right.
You know.
Right.
Like, I mean, that is kind of what it would have to be, and they just go from
the
hotel.
There's lots of logistics and service questions and food and all that stuff coming in and out. I know it sounds preposterous to try to stop this thing, but you're going to take every precaution you can.
And this is going to be the thing. I brought this up last week, and I know a lot of people scoffed at it, but it's going to be something. The injuries in sports are something to really watch during all of this.
Oh, no, it's going to be a big deal.
No, these guys are not taking care of their... Now, they can take care of their bodies all they want. They can eat as healthy as they want, but the training aspect of it is taking a massive hit. It doesn't matter what athlete it is right now. Nobody's able to replicate kind of either the rigors of an NBA season and what they're going through now. And they had their bodies peaking, and now they're totally pulling off the gas, and then they're going to have to ramp it back up. Baseball with pitchers' arms, guys throwing, and then football. I mean, it's a full body thing, but you need to be working out year round for that.
Yeah, I think for fans, you know, fans are always fun because now we get to see with TikTok and Instagram and Twitter, athletes working out. And I have a friend that's a rehab pitching coach in Major League Baseball. And the amount of time that guys invest, I think maybe not everybody understands. Taking care of your body at that level, it's an 8 to 10 hour job per day. You don't get a day off. That's it. That's the amount. And that's just taking care of your body from not just lifting. That's treatment, maintenance, all the things you do. And that doesn't include mental study. That doesn't include all the other things that go to being an athlete. These guys don't take time off anymore. Physically, you don't. This is going to be massive for them because they don't know how. They've never done it. If you don't have that kind of routine that you're in there, you can only take care of your body by yourself. You need machines. You need the kind of treatment. You need the old school ice and stem. But now we have the cryotherapy. Mm-hmm. All the things that you were used to getting your body ready for has to be re-implemented, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, it'll take a long time for these guys. Wait a minute, what is a rehab pitching coach?
Rehab. All Major League Baseball teams have rehab pitching coaches. They go to facilities where once guys are hurt, like Noah Syndergaard won't be anywhere near the facility. They'll go to the rehab clinics that they have either in Arizona or in Florida.
Florida or Arizona.
Yeah, and then they'll spend every day, they will do rehab routines and rehab pitching until they're called back up, and then that's when they move to AAA, AA.
So does he go with them to their rehab starts and wherever they may go? Like if it's a big name guy?
No, once you leave the rehab facility, which is most of them are in Florida, then you immediately just, then the guys are back in their active routine.
Isn't that, what is it, the Dennis Quaid movie? What's the name of that movie? Where you pit, is it Perfect
Game?
He's
the old guy and he just comes back.
Yeah, it start at the, no, not the one where he's a science teacher.
No.
For the Love of the Game?
I don't know.
For the Love of the Game? For the Love of the Game. Doesn't he start at one of those facilities?
Probably. I can't remember. Is that the one where he's at Texas? I don't know.
Nope, that one's the high school
kid. That's the high school guy.
That's the high school
coach. Dennis Quaid, right?
Yeah, that's, that one. That's the other Dennis Quaid baseball movie. Or Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner is the For the Love of the Game.
Right, and John C. Reilly's his catcher, right?
That's right, for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And I think that one starts at one of those rehab facilities. All right, injuries. Watch out now. OTAs in college football would be cool to see, though. Do you think they would televise them?
No.
Why?
College?
Yeah.
No, NCAA won't allow that.
Why? They do for spring games, spring practices and stuff.
Yeah, they would.
ESPN does their live little camp. But
they would cover it. They would cover it like training camp. That's exactly what they would. They would just cover it, but they wouldn't broadcast it.
I think there's going to be such a thirst for anything if like the NBA or Major League Baseball aren't back by the time these, like if this were to happen.
Look, there's going to be a thirst for anything.
They will be airing live practices and there's going to be, if we're watching drills, like doing bag drills. And people will be like, yes, this is what I needed.
Did you see CJ make that layup in that layup line?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So excited.
I think that would get old in about a weekend.
We are watching, though. People are they're drooling over dribbling videos of NBA players just dribbling on Instagram.
If we're ever lucky, the new normal is going to be different than we've ever believed, we've ever seen. It's not going to go back to the same. So we know that there's going to be some changes and adjustments.
So we're going to watch OTAs for college football.
I would never watch it.
I would at this point.
I'd watch it if it was a combined team practice, but
I watched a rerun of a 2000 Western Conference semifinal game last night.
That's different than watching guys hit bags. You know how boring that is?
I knew what the outcome was.
I knew exactly what was going to happen. Hey, let's go through the footwork drill. Here's backpedal drill.
Oh my gosh. Yep, going to watch all those too because it's new and live programming. Mm. All right, next hour, Brady Henderson, ESPN Seahawks reporter, NFL rapid fire as well. But coming up next, I got shamed by my son. It's a big shot to my ego and my manhood. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore
growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, we go off the rails every single day at this time. I am back after a 3-day staycation. We were supposed to go to the beach over the weekend, and I am so glad that we weren't just like, oh, we've got a house. We're just going to be inside by ourselves and then by ourselves as a family out on the beach. I'm so glad we didn't go after seeing the mayors and everybody kind of shame. Oh, I don't know. Everyone that went to the Oregon coast over the weekend. So we did the whole staycation thing. And then, man, it's been a wild ride because we're getting a dog. That's happening. Oatmeal.
You became a barber?
I became a barber. Now,
you can't keep using oatmeal and not keep this anymore. You realize that. You've already put it out there. You can't change it
now.
The
dog's name is Oatmeal forever. Oatie. Yeah, it's got
John Oates.
We're getting Oates. Oates. Hey, welcome back. This is the weird part about you being in that other room is that I don't know when you return either.
Well, I had to use the restroom.
Is your coffee refill break
And bathroom break. It's always programmed.
Yeah, you are. You're very regular at that time. I got in trouble. So things that you don't usually get in trouble for that you're getting in trouble for now that you're in quarantine life. I got in trouble for my son's haircut. Because barbershops are closed, I cut my son's hair. Mm-hmm. And my wife got mad at me because his hair is too short. It wasn't that it was like I butchered the haircut. It was just that I cut it too short.
Oh. Well, it'll grow back. Like Let her know. Like it's okay. It'll grow
like
back.
It's like an inch and a quarter in length. It's pretty long hair for a kid. I'm doing scissor cuts. I'm not a professional barber here.
I don't know. You put your kid in a man bun, so I don't have any.
Wait,
can't.
What?
Didn't you put your kid in a man bun?
No, I did not do that.
Hmm.
My wife did. He was like 3 months old. He's not getting a haircut at that point.
Man bun.
What? You would if you had hair.
Oh, you got it.
Don't act like you wouldn't.
I played golf with Rop and I kicked his butt on Sunday. Anyway, he got really salty about that. And he has a man bun coming out the back of his hair.
Well, that's not his a man hat. Bun. That's a ponytail.
No, nope. He curled it up in a bun and it was not a ponytail. He put it out there and he went, you know what? I'm going to sport it. And I went, you damn right. But I'm going to tease you about it because I'm hyper jealous, but I would never do it.
See?
Not going to do
it. Don't, you see, you can't get upset and shame people because of your jealousy.
I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just saying is that if you have
already... Well, you just shamed Rob for having it.
No, I said it in jealousy. I said, if I had that, I would totally wear one. Not. And I lied.
What? That is...
Well, you can shame or tease. That's the difference.
Yeah. And that is something that... I'm getting in trouble for, and I wonder how many other people are getting in trouble for things that you're just throwing your hands at me like, what do you want me to do? What?
Don't put your kid in a man bun.
I didn't.
You allowed your wife to do that.
I allowed her to? And cue the text in 3, 2,
you allowed your wife put your son in a man bun.
I also, though, my son is coming for me. And I think he's trying to take over the house because he penis shamed me during the during the break.
This has got extremely awkward, but okay.
No, it happened. So my son is 3, and I feel that he may kill me in my sleep at some point because he wants to become the man of the house. In the shower, young Bennett looked at me and he goes, "Dad, my penis is big." And I said, "Huh?" He goes, "It's big." And I said, "Oh." He goes, "Yours is little, Dad." And I said, "What?" He goes, "Mine, huge. Yours, little."
What?
And I just looked at him. I was like, "What, buddy? What are you doing?" He shamed me in the shower. I said, "Man, you've been talking to your mom too long. You know, I got shamed by my 3-year-old son." In the shower, he's coming for man of the house rules right now.
Sounds like you need some blue chew.
You know what? I don't know if that's what it does, but he came at me 3 years old.
That's what they say it does.
Already coming, man of the house. He's already coming at it. He's trying to take over right now. He's trying to do it. He's trying to do it. He's coming for me, and I know it.
Horrifically uncomfortable, but okay.
Hey, you've never had those moments where your son, he says something, you just look over and you're like, where did that come from, dude? Are you coming from on this?
Sure.
This
Why not?
Was something that took me by complete and utter shock.
And I'm not even sure we got to it about a week ago, Bennett's proclamation to his grandmother.
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Because that might be even more
jarring. Suddenly, when you find you find what you got. You got the outdoor plumbing. Everything's a little interesting.
My gosh,
it's a little interesting. It's like
Oh man, this is a text that came through on your man bun story that you said.
Yeah.
My 4-year-old son is so against the man bun, he won't eat a hamburger or a hot dog if it has a bun.
Your son is a hero, and I want to donate to his future.
Oh, man. This is the man bun thing is something that is going to be an issue for, I guess, Rop moving forward.
Oh, Rop has a reason why he's growing his out, which I respect it and I appreciate it. So I've laid off of his because it's his own thing. It's his Samson thing. He's got a Samson thing going on. It makes him strong.
It does make him strong.
It's
a beautiful.
So
head
I
of
can
hair.
I can appreciate that. You know, look, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a. If you have long flowing hair, I can't handle my hair touching my ears, or I would love to grow my hair out, but I just can't do it. You have to get past a point where you just don't care. And I think that should be applauded when you can go that route. Going straight up man bun and walking. I think the problem that I have when you go man bun is when you do it, shave it on the sides. and then you go man bun up top, so it's just only long on the top. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, a little top knot thing.
Top knot.
I thought that's more of a soccer guy kind of thing, where they shave it and they get it really
the hipster look too. Beard
glossed,
and that
it's all glossed and it's tight.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like it's a SoCal bro thing too.
It might be a SoCal bro thing.
I think it's an everywhere bro thing.
It's a fashion bro thing.
Fashion thing. Hair is back. Hair is big.
Yeah. Sure is, Bob.
Hair is big.
Well, Cam, not long ago, you were talking about the trend in youth, the front tuft that kids are trying to roll out.
Not just the front tuft. It's the bangs, man. It's just the constant, and that's really bad for radio, but it's the head wave to get the bangs out of the eyes. It's like, don't touch my bangs, man. Don't let me like get the front. You got to keep the front. It's all about the front, bro. It looks good.
You make sure you get the curls.
Hey, gosh, I mean, I know.
Your boys on that train yet? Are they growing their hair out to do it?
I let them. They could do their hair their own. I mean, we take them to the place. I used to cut their hair a lot. At least I might be doing it. So yeah, I've had to offer up some changes, and I'm okay with it. If you want to grow your damn do your deal.
Grow your hair.
You ain't getting a man bun, bro.
What if they do it?
You can do it. You can do it on the outside.
But what if they say, "Dad, this is what I really want"?
Do you really think? Do you really, really, really think? You know me now for almost 5 years. You really think that I'm going to have a man bun kid walking around my house?
Hey, you may not have a choice.
What if one of your kids comes back from the bill? Are you going to kick him out?
You're damn right.
Hey, look, when you're an adult, you can do whatever you want. When you live under my roof and my rules, that's how
you're
it works.
You're going to go and just cut the man bun right off.
Oh, I'll snip that sucker right off in the middle of the night. Ain't happening.
Of course.
Hey, man, when you pay for your own stuff, you turn 18, you can man bun that thing till your cows come home.
I love it.
My dad said the same thing to me.
55305, that is the
first
fan.
Thing I did is I got my ear pierced. Boy, did he boo. I sent him down. That didn't last very long.
If you rail too hard against it, they will rebel.
Yeah, I know they rebel.
You know
that's
the rebellion's coming.
I get it. That's part of the deal. But you know what? Rules are rules.
So did he rip the earring out of your ear?
No, he's just shamed me, and then I ended up taking it out anyway.
See, and I think that would be what you do. You would shame them, and I think they would just be like, "Ah, I'm not going to shame them.
I'm cutting it off."
Hey, I can't wait till like summer 2025 when the Cleveland boys both show up back from college with their hair.
Once they do that, I can't say anything. They're adults; they can do whatever they want.
55305, the fan text line. You can play along. We're doing NFL rapid fire next on the fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.